that he'll say anything that I might say relative to the subject much better than I would. So please, Brother Myers, talk to us.
Thank you very much, Dean. First of all, I think that if President Ji, Wansan Ji, President of the Lutheran Church in Korea, would know that I were speaking with you today, he would certainly encourage me to give his greetings to you and also the greetings of your brothers and sisters of your partner church, the Lutheran Church in Korea. So that is my first announcement then, that we give you the greetings of the Lutheran Church in Korea. I have this morning approximately 128 slides that I want to show to you. I'm going to stand right here, and hopefully as other people come in, then they can grab seats where they will be in a position to see. And I stand here so that I can project my voice out over all of you. And when I show these slides, I tend to go quite rapidly, since there are 128, and I can do it in about 35 minutes. And that's the pace that I'm going to move, so that after that time, then, we'll open it up for a discussion. And on anything that you have seen in the slides, anything concerning Christianity in Korea, perhaps you might have some questions on new religions in Korea. I know Mr. Moon is becoming very well known these days. Any of these things, then, we can talk about after I have completed the slide presentation. To begin, then, just to refresh your memories on exactly where Korea is located, this fall, as I've been traveling around to mission festivals just about every weekend, sometimes with the young Sunday school children, it is believed that Korea is an island or that it's in Africa. Well, this just isn't the case. It's a peninsula, almost an island, and it has a very unique geographical position, and its geographical position has influenced its history. The reason, of course, is that Japan is to the east, China to the west and north, and then that red area in the north, or in the right upper right-hand corner, is Russia, Vladivostok. Russia's warm water port is located immediately to the north of North Korea. And so throughout its history, it has kind of been trampled over by these three major powers in the world as they have tried to invade or conquer the other three powers, or the other two powers. So that she's always been, Korea that is, in a very dangerous position. That big glob there is not just one country, as I'm sure you're aware of. It's divided into north and south. That is the Korean flag of the Republic of Korea, South Korea. And the two cities that I have noted on the slide for you are Seoul, the capital city, kind of in the middle on the left, and then Busan, the southeast coast. Seoul is the capital city, as I mentioned, over 7 million people today, and Busan, over 2 million people. These are the two cities in which we now have local parishes of the Lutheran Church in Korea, 6 in Seoul and 2 in Busan. As I said, though, Korea is not just one big blob there. There are two countries, north and south, and once you visit the truce village of Panmunjom, you immediately realize that this is the case. This is a slide taken from the south looking to the north. And the bridge there is the Bridge of No Return. This is where the prisoners of war were exchanged in 1953. They were given the choice of staying on one side of the bridge or crossing over to the other. But once they had crossed, there was no return. Hence the name, the Bridge of No Return. Those two trees in the foreground on this side of the bridge in South Korea, I'm not sure which one it was, but it was one of those trees that was the center of a controversy about 3 months ago, if you recall. Our troops, some U.S. military troops and South Korean troops moved in to trim one of those trees. Shoving match ensued. North Koreans picked up some axes and began to butcher several South Koreans and several of our Army officers, U.S. military officers. The reason for this is that in Panmunjom, the troops live side by side, both the North and the South Korean and the United Nations command, and so it becomes very tense at times. In fact, the border for the country, the two countries, run right down the middle of that village, even right down the middle of the meeting room. There are my parents standing at the end of that table, my father in South Korea, my mother in North Korea. And so it's a very tense situation in Panmunjom. And just 2 years ago, in 1974, to emphasize again the tense political situation in Korea, the National Theater, this slide depicts, this was where a Korean-born Japanese citizen, attempted to assassinate President Park Chung-hee. Instead, he missed and murdered Madam Park Chung-hee here in the National Theater. Things of this sort are very common, so that a threat from North Korea is very realistic, and this is the type of thing that the Korean citizens live under every day. Korea is a rural country and an urban country. This slide shows you what a village would look like from the air before the rice fields have been planted. They're being prepared here. Villagers tend to live together in little clusters of homes, and just like small towns here in the States, they would all probably be related. A closer view showing you the type of homes, various types of roofs, tile or grass even today, various shapes, rectangle, L, U, completely squared. Once the rice fields then have been prepared, you can still see oxen out in the fields. Here the rice is being transplanted, and just about a month and a half ago, that golden rice then was harvested. Also, Korea has urban populations. As I mentioned, Seoul, over 7 million people, Busan, over 2 million, and several other major cities, Daejeon, Daegu. This particular slide was taken in the capital city of Seoul in 1967. Keep your eye on that Presbyterian church, because the next slide is taken from the same location in about 1972, and you'll be able to see how in just 5 years' time the economy had grown and the capital city of Seoul took on a completely different look, and this expansion continues today. Switching then to the religious situation in Korea. Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism were all imported from outside the country. The indigenous religions are kind of a cosmic religion called shamanism. Shamanism is a religion which is shared also by our Southwest Indians here in the United States. It is a belief in spirits of the other world. You communicate with them through a medium called a shaman that can be either a man or a woman. So that's the indigenous religion. As I said, the others were imported. Buddhism claims approximately 12 to 15% of the population at the present time. Buddha's birthday is a national holiday, so that on his birthday, you can see the temples decorated with many, many lanterns. They have a large parade. But Christmas is also a national holiday. We also have many other religions, even a mosque just dedicated about a year and a half ago. Korea gets all of its oil from the Middle East, and since 1973, when the oil crisis hit, the government had to get on good terms with the Middle East. Therefore, they gave land to the Middle East Association of the Muslim Association, and this mosque was then dedicated about a year and a half ago. Christianity itself dates back over 100 years. The first missionaries into Korea were Roman Catholic Jesuits. Although Christianity had reached Korea prior to that time, in that literature had been carried in by Koreans themselves, so that Korea is unique in that missionaries did not come in on their own, but they were invited by Korean nationals themselves. This is one of the points to be made in asking why Christianity has had such, if we can use the word success, such success in Korea. So Roman Catholics were the first in. However, they underwent persecution by the rulers of the Yi dynasty back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. It was not until 1882 when the first non-Roman Catholic missionaries came to Korea, Methodists and Presbyterians. Today, the Presbyterian Church remains the largest faith group in Korea. There are some 12 different Presbyterian denominations in the Republic of Korea. One of the fastest growing churches today is the Assembly of God Church. They only have one building. You see it on this particular slide, but it seats over 5,000 people. And so that's the reason they probably only need one. It's the largest church building in the entire country. That church building is located on an island called Yeouido. In just a few minutes, I'm going to show you some great events that took place on that island just a couple of years ago. But first, to impress upon you again how Christianity has grown in Korea, particularly since 1882, and then during the great revivals of the early part of this century, to impress that upon you, this slide depicts the fact that Korean military has Christian chaplains, also Buddhist chaplains and other religions. But Christianity has grown to such an extent that just as here in the United States, there are chaplains in the military. This slide shows the Naval Academy Chapel in Shinhae, Korea, on the southern coast of Korea. Also, Christianity has grown to such an extent that there are many and good Christian universities. Ewha Women's University, founded by the Methodists in the early part of this century, the largest women's university in the world. They have over 9,000 lady students. And Yonsei University, founded about the same time by Presbyterians. This was where I attended language school. Yonsei boasts of about 8,000 young men and women. It is ranked as the second leading university in the entire country. As I said, I did graduate from language school. It doesn't mean that I have mastered Korean. I arrived in Korea in 1972 after graduation from the seminary here. My first 2 years were given to language study, and it's a long, hard road, and any of you contemplating going overseas can look forward to hard language study as your first task on arrival. Well, back to Yeouido, as I'd promised, Yeouido Island. This is where the main government buildings are being built in Seoul, the capital city at the present time. It was once an airstrip. Now the runways have become a kind of an open-air plaza. And it was here where, in 1973 and 1974, some great events took place. In 1973, Billy Graham and his crusade came to Korea. And on the last day of that crusade, on the fifth day, there were over 1 million people who assembled on that island, on Yeouido Island. Perhaps some of you saw that on TV. 1 million people at one time. A choir of over 5,000 voices. Korean Christians love to sing, and they love to do it in large groups. Just a mass of humanity, if you can imagine that many people together at one time. A year later, in 1974, Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, came to Korea. Expo 74, you remember the first Expo was down in Texas. Expo 74 in Korea on this island, Yeouido Island. On the last day of their crusade, they claimed that 1.5 million people assembled on Yeouido Island. So that they say that they outdid Billy Graham, and even some of our Lutheran pastors from Taiwan, from the Chinese church, came and were with us for that occasion in 1974. 1.5 million people, and in order to outdo Billy Graham's choir, they put together a choir of over 6,000 voices. If you can imagine, 1.5 million people and a choir of 6,000 people. It was into such an environment of Christianity where Christians numbered, at that time, in 1958, when our first Lutheran missionaries went to Korea, some 8% of the population, that our first four families, on your right, Maynard Doral and his wife, Shirley, on your left, Paul Bartling, his wife, Ruth, and then two other families, Dr. Wan Young Ji, who had just received his doctorate here at Concordia Seminary, and Kurt Voss and his family. The first four families found themselves in a maze of Christianity, where particularly after World War II and after the Korean War, the entire spectrum of Christianity had entered Korea, every denomination imaginable. So they asked themselves, what do we as Lutherans have to contribute to a country where Christianity is growing rapidly, where the main faith group is not Lutheran, and where there seems to be every stripe of Christianity that exists? The answer, after thinking to themselves that they came up with, was that they should contribute to the existing Christian missions in Korea by working in those areas in which particularly Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was the strongest. The first of those areas was mass media, so that television work was begun. Today, because of expenses, television work is not done that frequently by the Lutheran Church in Korea, but you'd be surprised to know that Benji and Waldo can speak Korean, or Benji at least, I don't know about Waldo, because Easter is and Christmas is, the city that forgot about Christmas, have been dubbed into the Korean language and are shown at the appropriate seasons. Lutheran Hour work also, but since Oswald Huffman does not speak Korean, rather than a sermon format, a dramatic series was begun for the radio. Professional Christian writers doing the scripts, professional Christian voice actors then reading the scripts over the air, and then Lutheran Hour is broadcast throughout South Korea, beamed into North Korea, and then also beamed into China. One of the programs of the Lutheran Hour at one time received over 300,000 responses via postcards. One of the secretaries looks at these 300,000 responses that was received. One of the other projects begun by the first four families into Korea, Lutheran missionaries that is, was Christian correspondence courses. They picked this up primarily from the Lutheran Church in Japan, our partner church there, where the CCCs had received good reception, and in Korea also it received an excellent reception. As of 1976, over 400,000 Koreans have enrolled in the primary series, a 12-booklet series. The secondary series, a 6-booklet series, has had over 25,000 enrollees in its 10-year history, and both of these series are translated into Braille for the blind. As you can see, the red keeps going up, and the CCC continues to enjoy success. This, of course, takes a full-time staff, some 20 to 25 new enrollees every day, things to be sent out through the mail, answer sheets to be corrected. It's a full-time job for the staff. One of the ways in which the Christian correspondence courses have been utilized is in the military in the Republic of Korea. Perhaps you have heard of the mass baptisms in the Republic of Korea. Particularly in the ROK Army, Republic of Korea Army, the Christian correspondence courses have been used by, if you can believe this, company commanders who were not quite sure whether they force their men to study the teachings of Christianity or not, but nevertheless, as this slide depicts, there are often mass baptisms, as many as, in this slide, 300 people at one time baptized together. And the Christian correspondence courses have had a great influence in this work. One of the other projects begun by the first men, Lutherans, into Korea, Christian literature. On the left, you'll see the Sesengyeong, the New Life magazine. On the right, booklets and pamphlets which have been translated into Korean. Some of Luther's works, the Small Catechism, the Augsburg Confession by Dr. Won Young-ji. It is attempted that at least one new book or pamphlet is translated every year. This is through the auspices of the Concordia Sa, the Concordia Publishing Agency in Korea. Well, Maynard looks a little different since 1958. Here he is today. He is the only one of the first four families into Korea that is still in Korea. Paul Bartling left about a year and a half ago. He is now at the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Portland, Oregon. Maynard and his family remain there. He is treasurer of the church body. He is dean of the theological training program. He assists at a parish and has other numerous activities in addition. George Reamer arrived in 1961. At present, he is vice president of the church body. He is the Lutheran Hour manager, assists at a parish, and also does other committee work. And then there's myself, who arrived in 1972, so that after Paul Bartling left in 1975, it was, that means that there were only three foreign personnel there. But David Susan, who graduated from this seminary in 1971, and his family arrived in Korea in early September, shortly after Judy, my wife, and I departed Korea. Permit me to introduce to you then President Won Sung-ji and his very lovely wife, the president of the Lutheran Church in Korea. Won Young-ji, you notice the similarity in names. Won Young-ji was one of the first four men into Korea, as I mentioned to you, and they are brothers. After several years, other denominations and people approached the Lutheran men and encouraged them that because Lutheranism had a very unique contribution to make to the Christian scene in Korea, that they, the other denominations, would not be offended if, in fact, local parish evangelism efforts were begun by the Lutheran mission. Well, of course, if you're going to have local parishes, this means that you need a seminary training program for training pastors to be with people in local situations. The Lutheran Theological Academy was begun in 1966. Therefore, the first graduates received their diplomas in 1970. And the first four men then were ordained also in 1970. President Ji on your left had taken a colloquy program prior to 1970, so that he was actually the first national trained and ordained in the country, but the four men kneeling were actually the first graduates of the LTA, the Lutheran Theological Academy. We try to establish at least one new parish every year. This means that you need a new graduate every year. Our progress, our approach in Korea is to not establish a new parish until there is a national pastor or evangelist who is able to move into that situation. I hesitated because what this means is that often this means slow growth, but on the other hand, as soon as you establish a new parish, you have a national pastor or evangelist who is able to move into that situation, which is much more desirable, especially in Korea. Perhaps not so in other Asian countries, but this is at least the case in Korea. In conjunction with the theological training program, an excellent library, primarily consisting of Luther's works, since Dr. Wanyang Ji was a strong Luther man himself. Some of our pastors and lay leaders at a local retreat site outside the capital city. And permit me now to very briefly give you a glimpse of some of the local parishes. Many of these are just 5-6 years old. This is Wangshini Lutheran Church, where I assisted for 2 years. Almost all Korean churches have 2 floors. The reason for this is the lack of space. Land is very expensive. Therefore, instead of building out, you build up. The first floor is normally offices, educational facilities, and the second floor then a worship facility. At Wangshini Lutheran Church, we tried to not make the pews so unmovable in order to use that second floor for other things than just worship services. Many of our parishes have libraries for the students. In Korea, housing is very scarce and space is very cramped. You will often find as many as 6 to 8 people, if not 10, living in a space which is probably 1/6 of the space from the exit here to the end of the room. So that this means for students, it's very difficult to study in a small space like that where it's very noisy, all types of activities are going on. So many of our parishes offer a library in our churches for students where they can come after they've finished their regular classwork and sit down for 2 to 3 hours of silent study in order to accomplish their homework. And Koreans are excellent students. Competition is very, very keen in Korea. You do not go on to the next school unless you're very, very good at your studies, and so they do study very, very hard. Playgrounds are also operated by many of our parishes, as you see here. All types of community outreach. This gives you a good idea of what the capital city of Seoul looks like. Very cramped housing, over 7 million people, growing at the rate of 5% annually. This is where Oksodong Lutheran Church is located. Look toward the top of the housing there, right in the middle, and you'll see 2 bricks, 2 large brick towers. This is what you're looking for. I'll advance it back again, and you'll see it there tucked into that very crowded hill in one of the areas of Seoul. Oksodong Lutheran Church. Again, 2 stories. Educational facilities on the first floor, worship facilities on the second floor. There's Pastor Kim Ha-chul, who you will see again very shortly down in Busan, Korea. Ladies group, many of the same parish activities as you have here in the States. Again, a youth group. Notice the uniforms, white and blue in the warm weather. They change to all black in the cold seasons. This youth group also wanted a library, but their church basement had never been finished. So instead of hiring someone, they went to work and dug it out themselves and therefore made their own library so that they too could have a quiet place to study. Kindergartens are operated by many of our local parishes. They too like to wear uniforms. Another local parish, the northern part of Seoul, St. Luke's in Taejedong, a suburb of Seoul. They did not have enough money to finish the complete building, therefore the second floor was used for worship facility, and the first floor then was not completed until about a year ago. Right now it looks as if it's standing on stilts. One of the parishes that was located in the heart of downtown Seoul just last year moved to the northern outskirts of Seoul. They purchased the land. They're now worshiping in this very small building, but to the left, there is enough space to build a larger building in the near future as soon as funds became available. We switch now to Busan. Remember I said there are 6 parishes in Seoul and 2 in Busan. It was in 1974 that the first outreach was made outside the capital city of Seoul. And this is Busan Tower, and from that tower you can look out into the harbor, see the many ships of many nations that come to Busan. Also a very crowded city, as you can see in this slide, over 2 million people. It was in the area of Gwanghwamdong in Busan where land was purchased. This particular area of the city was chosen because the population of Busan was moving into this area of the city. There were not many Christian churches in this area, and so it was just an ideal location. This was the rice paddy that was purchased, an excellent location. Notice how empty this looks right now, but in the next series here of about 10 slides, in a period of 6 months only, you're going to see a drastic change in this particular neighborhood. This was an excellent location because there was an apartment complex on the left in front of the land that was purchased, over 7,000 inhabitants. Again, not many homes there, but this is going to quickly change. Construction began in spring of 1974. Kim Ha-chul and his family left a very successful parish in Seoul in order to move down to Busan to begin the work. He thought that he would spend 4 or 5 months of introducing this parish to the community, but as soon as he arrived there, people who had taken Christian correspondence courses and who had listened to the Lutheran Hour over the radio told him to begin services right away. In the beginning of Lent in 1974, he began services on a Wednesday evening. Korean Christians go to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. That first Wednesday evening, there were only 3 people, and he was really discouraged. But the following Sunday morning, there were 18, and then that Sunday evening, there were 33 people. That growth has continued until today. There are over 100 baptized members in that first Lutheran parish in the city of Busan, and it continues to grow. I have assisted Pastor Kim for the last 2 years in Korea, spending about 5 or 6 days every month with him and his family, living with them in Busan. And this particular parish, I'm showing you a lot of slides of it because it's just had a remarkable growth, and it's really enjoyable and a real thrill and satisfying ministry to work with him and to see how this parish grew. This was the first then facilities that were used by this parish in 1974. Worship facility, multi-purpose facility really in the foreground, then the pastor's home in the background. Notice how this area, the rice paddies, are quickly changing. Homes springing up everywhere. Space was left for a larger building sometime in the future. Again, notice how the area is continuing to grow and we're being surrounded by homes. Dedication took place on Pentecost Sunday, 1974, the first baptisms and confirmations. Growth continued. In that small building, worship took place. There were no pews, so people had to sit on a wooden floor. Vacation Bible School took place in that little small building. The first Vacation Bible School in 1974, 85 children showed up. Sunday school. They averaged 70 children every Sunday in that Sunday school in Busan. A kindergarten. This year they have over 40 students. This was the first batch of kids. That was 33 students. And believe it or not, they crowded every day into that small room. And that room was about the size of this rug in front of me. That's how large that first building was. A very active youth group. In fact, match and rival any youth group here in the United States. They're the best evangelists of that parish in Busan. They really aggressively reach out into their community, their classmates. Just an outstanding group of young people. In 1975, at Easter time, they wanted to emphasize the shedding of Christ's blood on Calvary, so they were the first youth group of 400 Christian churches in the city of Busan who, in order to demonstrate Christ's shedding of blood, donated their blood to the Red Cross. Now, I don't think all of them, particularly this young lady here, was very enthusiastic about it, but they really made a great witness to the other youth groups in Busan. As I mentioned to you before, this space was left for a larger building. Construction began due to funds in Korea, local funds, and funds from the 125th Thanksgiving offering from the Partner Church, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Construction began in September 1975. And that's just about 1 year and 3 months ago. Korean construction is very rapid. Sometimes it holds up, other times it doesn't. But 3 months later, in December 20th, 1975, this then was the permanent structure. Again, two stories, actually three, because that roof in warm weather can also be used. Educational facilities on the first floor, worship on the second, and then a picnic ping pong playground up on the roof whenever it is not raining or not cold. The first Lutheran parish in the city of Pusan. In order to emphasize that we were the first Lutheran parish, and since there's no fish cult in Korea, we picked up one of the earliest Christian symbols, ichthus, fish, and emphasizing that we were fishing for men. Pusan is a fishing port, therefore the fish net on the right, the ichthus cross, fish symbols on the pulpit, the baptismal font, and on the altar. Pastor Kim Ah-chul. Notice the stovepipe there. That little stove heated, and in fact, most churches in Korea are not heated centrally. In fact, it's just about this week they should be putting the stoves in the churches. And that's why you see all of those warm clothing. In fact, you often, when you walk down the capital city streets of Seoul, see businessmen with just such as I'm dressed today, and you wonder how in the world they can stay warm like that. But then when you see them undress and see their three layers of clothing underneath that, running suits, all types of things in order to keep warm. When you go to church in Korea, you have to really dress warmly, because chances are you're going to be able to see every hymn that you sing, and the preacher can see every word that he speaks from that pulpit, because it is so cold. As I said, the parish really continued to grow, and it continues to grow today. The church council. This is a vicar, actually I should say pastor, Park Sung-won. This year, the second Lutheran parish in Pusan was established. And we expect as great a things from him as we have seen from Pastor Kim Ah-chul, because he's just as aggressive. He's showing here to us this past summer his entire map that he had worked out of the programs that he had chartered for that new parish. In July of this year, I and several seminary students, five of us, went to Pusan and spent a week down there training ourselves to share Christ with the Korean people. And we had kind of a youth revival, and a tremendous outreach was made during that week. Over 70 people came to that first youth meeting, and on the second night there were about 80 people. So as you can see, I have reason to say that this parish is going to grow just as rapidly in Pusan as the first Lutheran parish has. We're going to skip back up to Seoul now, because I want to give you the background and then show you where the primary ministries of the Lutheran Church in Korea take place. This is President Won Sang-ji, and this was the former location of Trinity Lutheran Church. It was an old converted Japanese house. It was much too small for the congregation. People had to crowd in there to receive the sacraments, to worship together. They also have many other activities of the congregation which were going on, a playground for children. They also had a children's library. They needed a new facility. Well, this happened to be our location for our offices in downtown Seoul, a five-story structure. We had a bookstore on the first floor. The offices were up on the fifth floor, and the middle three floors were rented out to try to pay for the building. The bookstore on the first floor, where I worked as book purchaser for about 2.5 years, is one of the finest in the capital city, mostly English language, but some Korean also. Just a fine collection of books, primarily for professional people. Well, one of the missionaries many years ago had the idea that perhaps Trinity Lutheran Congregation and the office downtown could be combined into one building. This is what the architect came up with. The first floor was meant to be all office space. The second floor, Lutheran Theological Academy, the seminary training facility. Third floor, multi-purpose floor. And then the fourth floor, a worship facility. This is where it was meant to be built, on a hillside, Namsan, South Mountain, right in the heart of Seoul. Very crowded area. Groundbreaking took place in the spring of 1975. And the completed product, December 1975, exactly 1 year ago. This is what it looks like. From one entrance to the parking lot, the church entrance from the other side, Dedication took place on December 14th, 1975. Dr. Huffman was in Korea with us to help us dedicate the new facility, and also John, I don't know if he's here today or not, but he was with his father last year with us in Korea, handing over the keys of the building to President Ji by Missionary Reamer. Excellent choir, Trinity Lutheran Choir. The third floor, as I mentioned, is a multi-purpose floor. The fourth floor, the worship facility, will seat over 500 people. The third floor can be used for many types of activities here, Vacation Bible School this past August, the conventions of the church, many types of meetings can be held in this third floor. So it is in this building, then, the Lutheran Center, where all of the primary ministries are centralized and located. Because of the many different types of ministries, a full-time staff of over 30 people is employed and works at the Lutheran Center. Some of the other ministries I've not mentioned to you yet are social ministry work. We have two full-time social workers, casework, family counseling, relief work. Also, the Bethel Bible Series is in its third year now in the Republic of Korea under the auspices of the Lutheran Church in Korea. The materials were translated. Dr. Harley Swigum and some of his staff come to Korea every year. In January of next year, this will be their fourth trip to Korea for the annual seminar. They meet at the Seoul Academy House in the northern outskirts of Seoul, and as Dr. Swigum holds forth in English, or his staff, the Koreans are able to plug in their earphones and, just like the United Nations, receive a simultaneous translation of the seminar. Over 250 pastors and lay leaders have graduated in the last 3 years, and the Bethel Bible Series is now being carried on in over 60 locations and local locations throughout the Republic of Korea. In conclusion here, I just want to point out to you that although there are 8 local parishes of the Lutheran Church in Korea, there's also another Lutheran congregation in Korea that is not connected with the Lutheran Church in Korea. It is the International Lutheran Church and Service Center. It is sponsored by LUCUSA, Lutheran Council in the United States of America. It is both a service center for the some 42,000 U.S. military still in the Republic of Korea, and it is also an independent Lutheran congregation. It is one of 5 such congregations in the world that is recognized by LCA, ALC, and LCMS. Therefore, members can transfer in and out, and a growing congregation, almost self-supporting, well, I would say about 60% self-supporting. The ministry is to English-speaking people, military, missionaries, diplomats, business people who happen to be residing in the Republic of Korea. This is where this church was built in the early 60s. At that time, it was just on the outskirts of Seoul. But in about 1963, when this slide was taken, the area had completely grown up. It now sits right off the highway, the major 4-lane highway that goes all the way to Busan, Korea, the International Lutheran Church and Service Center. The old Chinese name for Korea is Chosen. Chosen means morning calm. And once you visited Korea and have witnessed an early morning, you quickly realize why it is called Chosen, or morning calm, because it's just a beautiful scene. Koreans are beautiful people, and you can be very proud that Christianity now numbers some 10% of the population, that there is a strong Lutheran presence in the Republic of Korea, and there's every reason to anticipate that Lutheran growth will continue, and it will become one of the major church bodies in the Republic of Korea, even though perhaps not in numbers, certainly in the contributions that it makes to the entire Christian mission in the Republic of Korea.